Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This Cowboys Monday is powered by K-Post Roofing.
Welcome into the K&C Masterpiece. No Corey, no Kevin. It is a B&B kind of Monday here on a Labor Day in the DFW. Blake Elliott joined by Brennan Baxter on his first show during the week. We're going to get to know him here in just a second. We got our boy Jet Nelson behind the board. It's been a while since he's been behind the board. So it's a day of firsts. It's a day of new becomings here on a Labor Day here in the DFW. I would say the weather, 75. I don't know. I haven't been outside in a while, so seems like nice weather outside. How are you enjoying your Labor Day? Text into the program, 877-881-1053. That is the best way to get involved with the show. Let us know, are you going out in the boat today, keeping it easy, staying inside, just listen to the fan? Maybe you're just watching some college football highlights, getting ready for this TCU North Carolina game tonight, getting your fantasy football lineup set up. What does your Monday look like? And while you text those in, you can tune your eardrums to learn who is Brennan. So first, I will, how do you spell your name? For all the people at home that are trying to write down in their notepad, who is this?
They want to study. It's B-R-E-N-N-A. And I get called Vernon a lot. I get Vernon with an O. I get Brendan. People call me whatever they want, man. But okay, it is B-R-E-N-N-A-N if you want to be official with it.
What's your least favorite like misspelling or mispronunciation of your name?
It's Vernon. You know, I had a speech impediment up until I was about 12 years old. Okay. Couldn't say my R's, so I was a Texas Wangeo fan, a Wedwedo fan, that sort of thing. You know, so sometimes I guess it comes out as Vernon, and I mean, that kind of drives me nuts a little bit. So
understandable. But I'll lay the show out for you guys if you weren't tuned in. And Crosstalk on the other side, we'll be talking about, do we like the Dallas Cowboys' new future? They seem to be okay with moving on from Micah Parsons. At 10:40, we'll look at what does that depth chart look like without Micah on the offensive and defensive side as we got Thursday's game against the Eagles right around the corner, just 3 days away. 11 o'clock, we'll go around the NFL, let you know about all the injuries, what all the lines are looking like for that first week of matchups. At 11:20, don't stop now, the Texas Rangers, they can't stop winning. Me and Fred wrote them off about a week ago, and what do? Go out and sweep the A's. At 11:40, we got your boy Zyler Buchanan coming on, talk a little college football. 12 o'clock, we'll talk about the Dallas Mavericks, kind of reset things. Been a while since we talked about the Mavs. See where they're at in the standings, where we think they will be in that Western Conference that is absolutely loaded. 12:20 UKNC Masterpieces. No, we got the on-time experts expressway. We'll take you all the way up to 1 o'clock, commercial free. We'll talk some college football again, give you guys some headlines. And at 1 o'clock, got the Big Don coming in, Brian Broaddus, to get you ready for that Dallas Cowboys game, giving you all the insiders, what the Perrion Winfrey news is looking like, what that cornerback room is looking like with Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs and everything that has to go with that. Then, of course, we'll do top five. And then at 1:40, we'll just ask Brennan how you like the show. So let's get into it, guys. You're listening right now. You have no idea who you're listening to. Maybe even Blake. So you can ask
I don't
me,
know, Blake. You, I don't know. This you, is our first time together, man. You can ask, first time meeting you.
You can ask me questions, too, because you don't know me. Some of the Tolos, I'm not on during this time, so they don't know me. So this would be a great time for all the Tolos to get to know. They don't even know Jet.
Yeah, Jet's in the back, man. Looking good back there. So,
Jet, how you feeling?
Feeling real good. Good to be back. You know, as Brennan doesn't know, I'm a work in progress as well. So, yeah, like you said, this is a little bit of a guinea pig show, but I'm glad to be on it. And we're getting done on Labor Day around 2 o'clock.
So. Yeah, happy Labor Day, everybody.
Okay, here we go. I got one off-the-wall question for both of you gentlemen that maybe I'll ask you like a serious one. I looked these up on ChatGPT. Okay, Brennan, you're stranded on a deserted island with a vending machine that only gives you three things forever, and you can't pick your phone. What are you picking?
Oh, man. Well, you've got to survive.
You tell me.
I mean, if I'm stranded, I got to have
can't
food.
Can't pick money, and you can't pick your phone, because those are
if you're stranded and have nothing to do.
It has to fit in a vending machine. Standard.
Gosh, dude. Well, okay. If I'm going to go, like, survival mode, Spaghetti and meatballs wouldn't come out of a vending machine, would it?
Could
that be possible?
Probably. How are you going to heat it up?
Yeah, that's a problem. I'm going to build a fire.
Okay.
I've got resources.
Yeah.
Man, I'll go a protein bar. I'll go, you know, something to give me energy.
So one protein bar.
Well, it's a vending machine full. It's full of protein.
Okay. Heard.
Yeah.
What else you got in there?
Water.
Okay.
And maybe some sports magazines to entertain me throughout the day.
Are we thinking like swimsuit, Sports Illustrated, Kate Upton style? Are we thinking like Body Edition, Saquon Barkley? What are we thinking with these sports magazines?
I can't go Body Edition, Saquon Barkley. That'd be too tough. Probably some college football, like some old school, like memory, you know, bring me back to the past of what, like the glory days before I got stranded, mid-2000s.
Okay.
You know, some Vince Young, like that sort of stuff.
I like it.
Yeah. Just to keep me focused on the good times.
Jet, what do you think about that answer? And what would your three picks be?
I think he's right on. He stole the protein bar. I would have taken that, but
he stole that off your board.
I'll go with the best snack of all time, the cheddar jalapeno Cheetos. That'll be in my vending machine. If you're on an island, you got to get the best snacks. In addition to that, we'll go with the Snickers bar. Can't go wrong there. And to keep me entertained, I like the idea of a magazine, but it's going to take a while for me to get rescued. I'll go like a Harry Potter book.
Okay.
I'll get into it. I'll go like the first book.
Yeah, like a 1,000-page book. That's a good idea.
You can probably put the whole series in there and not finish it before you get picked up. You'd be in good standing if that's the book that you picked. Okay, I'm going to ask a serious question now. Brennan, where'd you come from? For all the people listening that have no idea where you came from or didn't listen to Crosstalk 5 minutes ago.
Dude, born and raised in Dallas. Okay. I'm from here, man. I'm a Ranger, Mavs, Cowboys guy.
Which one the most, though? You got to pick.
Mavs.
Mavs. Same.
Okay. Yeah. Just love the Dallas Mavericks.
How do you feel about the Luka trade?
I'm looking forward to 2025.
Okay.
It's time to look ahead.
Where were your emotions when he got traded?
It was pure shock. Okay. It wasn't even anger, or it was just like I think like a lot of people, the tweet was fake, and just texting friends and seeing like this isn't real to find out it was real. It was like you're calling all your friends like this can't be actually happening, and that felt like that conversation happened for about a month, and then this year it's turned to. You get the shock of number one. You've got Cooper in town. Hopefully, you'll get Kyrie back healthy. And we got the Mavs talk coming up at noon. But it's time to look forward and be excited about what could happen this year in the Western Conference, which I think the Mavs could make some noise. So,
okay. I cut you off talking about your upbringing. You said grew up in Dallas.
Grew up in Dallas and went to school out in Lubbock at Texas Tech. So,
Raiders.
Big Red Raider, man. And then brought on here to host Fan University Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock in the morning. Had our first show at Nebraska Furniture Mart this last weekend. It was a ton of fun. Yeah. So excited to be here too. But yeah, just kind of a local Dallas kid and a Red Raider at heart. So
public school, private school.
I'm a public school guy.
Okay.
Yeah, went to public school in Richardson. So I'm short, probably 5'7" on a good day, but played basketball in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So those days are behind me now, though.
Were you the most athletic person part of the show on Saturday?
Between Carter and Jake, absolutely.
Ooh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Jake did play Division II football.
And
but
Carter
he
runs. Carter runs
does
marathons.
Does Carter run? See, I don't know that about Carter. But Jake, Jake's definitely got...
Were you just sizing him up? Were you just looking at him?
I was looking at him. I was measuring them. Mm-hmm. Jake doesn't look like he played Division II football anymore. So there's a problem there.
Try to mark that and say that to Jake right now.
Yeah, I love you, Jake. It's great to be hosting the show with you.
I said the same thing.
I was a little surprised when he said... But he did show me his huddle highlights.
Yes.
He showed me his huddle highlights and... He had some pretty good hits. He blew by Andrew Wiley, left tackle there in high school. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Jake's, but I'm going to take the mantle.
Okay, let's get to Jet Nelson. Jet, would you rather be able to teleport, but only to places you've never been? So that's option A. Or read minds, but only of pigeons?
I don't know what a pigeon mind. Pigeon, right?
Pigeons know a lot of information, Jet.
That's true. They carry
know a
things.
Lot of information.
But I can only teleport to a place I've never been?
Correct.
Mm.
So think about it. If, say, you go to Egypt because you've never been there and you want to go, but you can't teleport back home.
I'm stuck over there. Oh. Yeah,
I guess you could technically teleport to, like, Oklahoma if you haven't been there or something.
then I could get an Uber back or something. Yeah. No, I'll go with what the pigeons have to say. We'll see what they know.
Okay. Brennan, when it comes to Okay, here's a great one. Your social life, you know, mom, dad, girlfriend, stay at home, live with a roommate. What's that dynamic for everyone? As much as you want to share, you know, you don't gotta.
I've got a mom and dad. Okay, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. Hey, I guess technically, you know, yeah, married.
Hey, embryos.
The embryos. You never know, but the old fashioned way.
It could be two
old fashioned way.
Dads.
29 years ago, and then married.
29. As
29.
Well.
29.
Nugget.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then married coming up on 3 years.
Married.
Yeah. Yeah.
You Welcome and Jet both.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Married at 22, so a lot earlier.
Okay,
but
see,
hey,
yeah, I was 20, you know. What was I? I was 26. So, yeah. There's my my social life consists of hanging out with my wife and watching sports.
Okay.
And she's actually really depressed right now, man. She went to the University of Alabama.
Ooh.
So, their dynasty is coming to a close, it looks like, and it's been hard at home.
Yeah, we're going,
you know, to the last couple
we're
days.
We're going to be getting to that. Hot seats already starting up out there in the Crimson Tide for Alabama and Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Not
looking good.
Start that you wanted over there in Bama. Okay, so married, 29 years old. Are you like a pickleballer?
I'm not a pickleballer, okay, man. Okay. I've never gotten into pickleball. I actually rather go suck at tennis, I think, than play pickleball.
Mm.
I'm a purist when it comes to sport, you know? Okay. So. Golf. I like playing golf. I like hooping when I can. And
when you say playing golf, are you like a member at a club, or are you just like go when your friends invite you, like once every couple
months?
I am
months? A member at a
okay.
club.
Okay. So you golf often?
Yeah, probably more than I should.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the correct thing is to ask, like, what's your handicap? I'm not a golfer, but.
You never want to be that guy that says their handicap, but it's my first time
I don't
on
know.
Air.
What's the correct thing to ask when someone says they play golf? What do you shoot?
Yeah, like what do you shoot?
Okay.
You know, you enjoy playing. I never really ask guys because it's always a thing in golf. Guys love measuring up. You know, what we do. But it's like, oh man, I broke 80 once, or I played. Yeah. You know, I shoot in the 90s, or I'm scratch. That means you're pretty good.
Okay.
You know, so I play around that level.
Scratch?
Around that.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay, Tolos, he has set the
tone. And if you don't believe me, you can look me up on it, the Gin app. I'm on there.
I don't know what that is. Is that like the golf?
It's a USGA official handicap app.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I don't show it off often, man.
Is that like a subscription based?
It's a subscription based. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Sounds like something you got to be invited to. I don't think you can.
No, you can, if you wanted to download it right now, you could. Man.
I'd just be giving.
We
it free
can go
money.
Out. We can go hit balls later and
just be giving
get
free
working.
Money.
Yeah.
Just down at the bottom of that. Okay, one last get to know you. Let's ask. I'll ask both of you. Would you snitch if you saw your dog secretly driving your car at nighttime, Jet Nelson?
No, he's got to be doing it for a good reason. I can't imagine. Well, I guess if it's that bad, or if I'm involved, maybe. If I need a plea deal, well, I don't know. I'd be a bad friend then. That's a tough call. I think I'll leave him innocent for now.
Okay. Brennan, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 50 duck-sized horses?
One. Dude, ducks, they've got more energy and, I think, viciousness than you might lead on. I've been attacked by a couple ducks before.
So that's a duck the size of a horse.
Yeah, I'm going to go the 50 horse-sized ducks.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go there.
Because the size is what matters.
The size is what matters.
Come on, man.
Yes.
If you, here we go. This is good for my college football boys. If you could swap lives for a week with the professional or college mascot, who are you choosing?
A professional or college mascot. Yeah.
Hopefully you pick college.
Oh man, swap lives with them? Like you become the mascot? Or what are we talking about?
I don't know
here?
If you're the real guy. Are you the guy? Game day?
Am I the guy that's just walking around class and putting on a?
I guess you got to have the mascot on 24/7. The costume, if you will.
It's got to be the Oregon Duck, right? I mean, one of the most, I think, well known. Did fall off yesterday, but I think probably the most character. Mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. I'll go. Yeah, I would trade lives with the Oregon Duck. He's pretty famous. I mean, you get the clout.
You do get some clout.
So,
is there a more famous mascot
in college? I mean, you could go a real animal. Maybe you could go like Bevo or like the Georgia Bulldog. Yeah. I like Bulldogs a lot. Maybe I become a Bulldog. I don't know.
Just become a Longhorn. Jet, your answer.
I'll go with the Penn State Nittany Lion. He always has some crazy stuff. He's doing the push-ups on a board or something, some backflips.
You know which mascot's the BYU Cougar. That guy like dances with the Palm Squad and does crazy stunts at the basketball games.
He's
pretty wild too.
What's the name of the Jacksonville Jaguar? He's wild. He'd be wearing like Speedos out there.
Does he really?
Yeah, he wears Speedos on game days. At least I've seen clips. But
and he's like swimming in their pool.
Any question you got for me, and then we'll get out of here. What's something you want to know?
Man,
anything.
If you were stranded on an island, what are the three things? I mean, you've got a...
I'd probably say purifier. So now I have unlimited water supply. I just got a Brita.
That's smart. Out of a vending machine.
Out of a vending machine.
Okay.
With the little water bottle insulated, I would go a machete, and I would go a flare. Those three.
So you're trying to get off the island.
See,
I think Jet and I were thinking, we're here, we're chilling. Yeah. And you're thinking, get me out of here. Jet and I are like, we're going to vibe for a while. So, okay,
Give me a machete over a magazine, unfortunately. But if you're going to stay, I think y'all have some great picks. But hopefully you guys stay tuned, because on the other side, the Dallas Cowboys seem to be moving to the other side of their mantra of thinking, moving off of Micah Parsons and with the new regimen with Kenny Clark. Stopping the run. Will they be able to do that on Thursday? And do you like the Cowboys' new way of thinking? Next on the KNC Masterpiece.
With today's U.S. Open update sponsored by the Dallas Open, I'm Dylan Moore. Yesterday, American Jessica Pegula continued to cruise in the U.S. Open, defeating Ann Lee in straight sets to advance to the quarterfinals. She will play Barbara Krejcikova, who battled off 8 match points to advance. And today, number 3 ranked Coco Gauff will play 23rd ranked Naomi Osaka with a trip to the quarterfinals on the line. First serve is scheduled for 12:30. This has been your U.S. Open report, sponsored by the Dallas Open. I'm Dylan Moore, 105.3 The Fan.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This segment is also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And by the Frankels. If you've ever been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
You're listening to the KNC Masterpiece. Dak Prescott shared his thoughts on moving on from Micah Parsons. We'll get to that in just a second. Or have you moved on from Micah Parsons? The Dallas Cowboys are 3 days away from opening up the season in Philadelphia, in filthy, as they drop their banner and get their rings right in front of the Dallas Cowboys, and they will not have, presumably, most people would say, their best player on their roster anymore, because now he is wearing number 1 in the hated yellow and green out there in Wisconsin for the Green Bay Packers. But you do got one of their new players, or one of their players, excuse me, new to you, in defensive tackle Kenny Clark. And that poses the question, Brennan, do you think the Cowboys' new way of thinking with moving off the star pass rusher, having the highest paid players at all these positions, having the guys that we like on Instagram, everybody knows the star, Micah Parsons, huge name, celebrity, even outside of the white lines. You get a guy like Kenny Clark, not gonna be in the A block of ESPN, not gonna take headlines because Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle, probably the last defensive tackle that people knew really was Aaron Donald, outside of us football knowers. What do you think of the Cowboys' new future and moving off of Micah Parsons and bringing in a guy like Kenny Clark?
Yeah, it's obviously been a really tough week for Cowboys fans. A lot of mixed emotions here. It was Mickey Spagnuolo actually on KNC last week that I said something that I did not know, that there's never been an NFL team that had the 3 highest paid players at their respective positions. So you'd have had Dak, CD, and Micah.
Yep.
So it's hard to say, okay, no team's ever done that. And here's a guy in Micah that is holding out. Is Jerry just going to go ahead and push that button and make that happen this year? And you've already seen those guys on the same roster, and you haven't come close to winning a Super Bowl. So it, for me, it was looking at it as in like, okay, if you're going to make a move, you got a guy that's coming off a Pro Bowl year in Kenny Clark, very effective defensive tackle, and the run game has been a problem for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably don't hate the move as much. Like, this isn't like the Luka Doncic thing to me, in my opinion. This is not, oh my gosh, we're going to miss Micah so much. You know, like, this is, the city needs to burn down. We need to boycott outside the stadium. This isn't that for me. I think that this was the right move. I know it sucks to have traded him to Green Bay. I think people have a problem with that. This team has owned you in the playoffs over the last decade. But I do feel like it probably needed to happen. And when you're getting a guy back that is a great defensive tackle, a Pro Bowler that is effective in helping stop the run, which was a pain point for your defense, I can see it working this year. Like, I can see this being an effective move. Does it make the Cowboys better? Does it elevate them to winning the division? No.
Do you think they have a better chance than they did with Micah? Swapping those two players?
I do not think.
Just this year.
If Micah is healthy on the field, he's one of the top five defensive players in football. So I don't think they have a better chance, but I think it still kept them competitive on that side of the ball with the player you got in return. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was this massive downgrade where now all of a sudden you're like, you need to tank. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way, but it's a better chance to know.
Yeah. A lot of people have shared their thoughts. A lot of people think the season is over now that Mike is gone. I had them at 9 wins generously with Micah on this team. As I gave my predictions a couple weeks ago, I dropped them to 7 wins. Moving off of Micah and having Kenny Clark, the more I've slept on it, they do have a more balanced football team because you still got great pass rushers. In thought, you know, Ezra Rocker's a rookie, looked good in the offseason, didn't look good in the preseason. Maybe he's holding some stuff in. We know what Dante Fowler did last year in Washington, having double-digit sacks coming back to Dallas. We all have high aspirations for Marshawn Nealand, Sam Williams, James Houston. But everybody I just named, nobody did that last year for the Cowboys. Nobody on the Cowboys defensive end line was dominant last year. You've got guys that did it in Washington, guys that did it in college, guys that maybe were progressing in a Nealand and a Sam Williams, and then James Houston, obviously being a little bit older of a gentleman. All those guys we have high hopes for, but we have not seen it yet. Obviously, you haven't seen Kenny Clark out there. The really only known quantity on that defensive line is Oso Digizua. You've got a lot of guessing, new defensive coordinator, new D-line coach, and White Cotton. I think week one is going to be ugly. I think this will be the ugliest game of the year. I could definitely think the line's at 7.5. And we all know football games are close at the end of the day. The line seems great, and it's divisional opponents. I don't see it personally being close week one. Where do you see week one trending? Then we'll start talking about the rest of the season.
Yeah, week one, Philadelphia in Philly. With how much turmoil was going on this offseason with the Micah situation, Dak coming back. But, I mean, this offense is still going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles obviously coming off the Super Bowl win. I think 7.5 is fair. I think the Cowboys can keep this game relatively competitive. I don't think it's going to get out of hand quickly. And because the thing is, too, with Schottenheimer, we don't know what we're getting. Right, we don't know what the offense is going to look like. They hold it in. He's talked about that throughout the preseason. So I do think that we might see some little gadgets here and there and some different plays. What's George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb? That's a tough wide receiver combination to defend. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. I don't necessarily think that we're going to be sitting there Sunday night by 8:30 and be like, this season is over. Yeah, I don't see that.
I see. I have a little bit different of a thought process. I think a lot of people are going to get discouraged on Thursday. I think Thursday is going to be ugly, and a lot of people are going to jump off of, why did we trade Micah? This team is terrible. I do think they're going to get stomped on Thursday, but I think they're going to pick it back up and be an okay team the rest of the way.
Well, and here's the reason for optimism if you're a Cowboy fan. It is the schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, you got Philly, right? But if you're looking at it, you get the Giants at home. You can convince me out of all, you got the Giants, Chicago, and then also on your schedule, and you can tell me if you think the Cowboys are worse or better than these teams, but
I think Chicago will beat them.
Okay, so at Chicago, the Jets?
I think you'll beat the Jets.
Carolina?
Could be a trap game, but you're better than Carolina, but yes, that could be, if you got into that and you only have one win on the board, say the Giants, and it's the Giants game, and Carolina's got one or two wins, I don't think it's a gimme, but you should win that game.
Okay. You think Washington's probably better than Dallas?
Correct.
Okay. Arizona?
You should win that. You got Clayton Adams over there, but, you know, they're no slouch. They beat you.
Las Vegas?
New and improved, man. See, that's, I mean, See, a team like Las Vegas, you would normally just chalk that's a W. It's the Raiders. They're no slouch anymore. Geno Smith brings their floor up a lot, and I think we all like Ashton Jeanty. If any of us have played fantasy football, we all like what he might be able to do. Brock Bowers. Maybe. So you got the most explosive running back coming out of college, the best tight end ranked by all the players in the NFL, Geno Smith raising that floor. I don't really love their defense, but I like Max Crosby. Their defense is a little bit of shambles, so I think you'll put up points on them, but we'll see what this – it all – for me – I know. Yeah, I don't know if you how much of me you've heard me talk about the Cowboys, but it's all in the defense. I believe in the offense. Yeah. I think the offense is going to put up 24, 25 points a game. It's the defense.
And I guess my point with this, but you could convince me the Cowboys could beat the Raiders.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not like you're then you get the obvious. Then after that game, you do have Philadelphia and Kansas City coming here into AT&T Stadium, but. You get Minnesota at home. I think that's a winnable game. You get the Chargers at home. I think that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
And then you finish the year at Washington, at Giants. So my point in saying this is I'm looking at the schedule going, you can convince me of 9 wins pretty easily with this schedule. And that's just assuming you lose to Philly twice, you lose to Green Bay, you lose to Washington twice. So there's 5 losses, and you lose to Kansas City and Detroit. That's 7 losses. Mm-hmm. But you could maybe win. I'm not saying, you could beat that Raiders
game. I think that Raiders game's a trap game. So now that you said that out loud, I'm gonna be waiting for that game.
That game is gonna be November 17th in Las Vegas. But my point is, if you're a Cowboys fan and you're out there just feeling like doom and gloom, especially even if you end up losing on Thursday night, there's reason for optimism, in my opinion, based on the schedule at New York Jets, at Carolina. And then I didn't even mention at Denver. I think you could win in Mile High. Denver, obviously, last year with Bo Nix and Sean Payton, had a great year, made the playoffs. A lot of people were thinking they could win the AFC West this year.
That defense, that's and what time of year is that?
That'll be October 26th.
Yeah, that's a loss
in Denver.
To me, that's a loss. Okay. That is maybe one of the best defenses you're going to face all year. That's going to be the first time you're facing a DB room that doesn't make CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens look elite. I think they are both elite, but you're going to be going against Jahdae Barron at that point in his rookie year, has got a bunch of reps in, and then the best corner in the game in PS2. That's a game where both of those guys can just lock up those guys. I don't think they're going to have 0 catches, but you're not going to see George and CeeDee go off for 100 yards. I can almost guarantee that. Neither of them is going to have 100 yards that game.
I think one of the biggest questions I have for the Cowboys this year offensively is, you mentioned it, the offense is going to be good, but what does the run game look like? How does the offensive line? Does Tyler Guyton make a step? What does Javonte Williams, can Mafah or Jaden Blue make an impact, as a young guy? So I'm really interested to see if the run game is effective, because if it is Dak, if it's essentially a Joe Burrow type year for the Bengals last year, where Dak is just having to throw 40, 50 times and get CeeDee and George just a bunch of touches.
That's what I called Fred about the other day. I said, this is the Bengals, but you're not as good as Joe Burrow and Jamar. I'll just cut it straight to you like that. Joe is better than Dak and Jamar is better than CeeDee. Not by huge margins, but both of those guys
are a little elevated.
T. Higgins and George, we'll call them equal. Some people might say T, some people might say George, whatever. And then a running back, Chase Brown's better than anybody you've got on your roster. Now, the Cowboys do have the better O-line than the Bengals. And the defense, the Bengals is really bad.
Yeah, even with the Trey Hendrickson extension.
He was there last year, and they were bad. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to have a bottom 10 defense.
Okay.
I said bottom 5, moving off Micah. The more I've slept on it, I like Kenny Clark and I like the balance on that defensive line. And you got a lot of unknown quantities, but I'm feeling good about it. Moving forward as the days go on, I'm okay. I can see myself without Micah. I ask you this though: do you feel better about the Cowboys? Less about Week 1 and less about just this season, but overall their thought process to say, "Hey, Micah, we've had enough with the gimmicks. We've had enough with the games. We're going to be a football team that just likes guys who play football." You saw Kenny Clark when he comes. One of the first things he says is, "I just like playing football." And I'll share this quote with you. Dak Prescott was asked about moving on from Micah and if there was a team meeting needed. His response, "I mean, I don't know if there was necessary meetings or things needed to be said or handled or had. I mean, it was a very public issue that everybody could look on the internet or ask somebody or ask one of you all and get a lot of intel or feelings about it. Like I said, it's just good to be past it. As I said, both parties are happy."
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this from Albert Breer,
The Sports Dak Illustrated. Prescott.
Yeah, and he said that His quote was, Martin, Lamb, and Prescott are/were very popular in the locker room. Breer wrote, that's not the case with Parsons, who is rankled teammates in different ways, seen by some as egotistical and self-centered. His podcast has created issues that go all the way up to quarterback Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And so, to your point on the locker room, if some guys are feeling this way, it was the right move. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go into a season with a new head coach, with, you know, you got Pickens and some new trades, with a guy that is just causing... This isn't the new Cowboys documentary. When Emmitt Smith held out, they go 0-2, right? This story was... You get Emmitt back and immediately you reel off and go win a Super Bowl. This team's not that 93 team, right? So I think this was the right move. You want all 53 guys bought in week one. Micah wasn't going to be that. And for that reason, you needed to go get what you could to try to maintain. And Jerry's going to, he's going to say, we got to stay competitive. Mm-hmm. So he wanted a guy like Kenny Clark, got the two first rounders for the future, 2026 and beyond. He kind of teased, oh, who says we're going to keep those? I don't see them trading those picks, you know, to get a guy. It sets you up well 2026, 2027, and beyond, I think, more so than having three guys locked into huge deals that significantly limits your cap.
What would you want to do with those draft picks? Text into the program, 877-881-1053. But on the other side, we'll be going through the Dallas Cowboys depth chart. We've had a lot of moving around, 53-man roster, trades. What does the depth chart look like so you can make your bets, so you can talk to your friends about who's going to win the game? Cowboys and Eagles next on the KNC Masterpiece.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They got more Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Silverado, Tahoe, Blazers, Malibus, Equinoxes, and more. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Relax and enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023 and 2024.
Thank you, Jett Nelson. You're listening to the KNC Masterpiece, joined by Blake Elliott. We got our boy Brennan Baxter in his first show. Y'all send him some love. He's been killing it so far. He did FAMU Diversity this past Saturday. So if you had a chance to listen to him then, this will be the second time you're hearing him. If not, like most of you guys, this might be the first time you're hearing Brennan. So I think he's doing a phenomenal job. Y'all send him some love.
Thanks,
Let's
Blake.
Read some text, because I've neglected the D&M Leasing hotline, what you guys are saying. Okay, yes, Micah has no playoff stats. He's only good against bad teams. That's been a popular take. 972, agreed. I like the new kid. Great voice.
Ah, great thank voice. Thank you, 972.
903, Micah is a difference maker, just not when it comes to wins and losses. The GM could have handled it better and gotten more ROI. I couldn't agree more with that text. I think we all agree Micah is a generational pass rusher. Only person since Lawrence Taylor to have 12-plus sacks in his first 4 years. We know how good he is. But when you look into the nitty-gritty, it's not like you were almost a playoff team and this guy was winning you 3-4 extra ball games and showing up in the biggest moments in week 15 through 18 and having these great playoff performances. And you could kind of say that about a lot of good pass rushers in the NFL. It doesn't really lead to success. And the GM could have handled it better. I think we all agree with that. And your ROI, yes, if you'd have done it before the trade or before the draft and gotten some picks and drafted where the Packers were and had that pick and got next year's pick and had all this money to spend in free agency, probably would have been smarter, but I don't think they thought this would get to this point. 972 says 47-6, Philadelphia will win.
Wow.
904, save this. Dallas will be a top 15 defense all year. Okay. 214 is our boy Jagon, known Broncos fan. Adios, Michael. I mean, Micah. Blake, I'm more worried about the Cowboys offense. Why does anyone expect this offensive explosion? I think people are really high on our boy George Pickens, adding to what the Cowboys, because we forget, not last year because Dak was hurt, but the year before that, you know, they were a pretty good offense. Dak Prescott second in MVP. The Giants and the Bears are going to stomp us. I don't know about either team stomping us. I think the Giants could win. It could be a weird one. And I think the Broncos will, or excuse me, the Bears will win. 2-1-4. I think Dallas is going to win Thursday, not just keep it close.
All right.
2-1-4, I think you might be the first person to text that in.
You've got to have some positivity out there. I mean, we can't all just be here in DFW going, it's over. You know, you've got to go. It's, you don't know until the game's played. Some college teams found that out this weekend. So, you don't know.
Sounded like my co-host Fred Davis, Mr. Optimist. 956, I'm happy the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons. He would fit better in a 3-4 defense. His body does not allow him to play defensive end at a high level for 17 games. He's getting paid the highest at his position for just flashy plays. 972, out of all the teams you named, Carolina is the only win I think we will get. 817, we need to make the Cowboys as much as we need to make the Cowboys as much as Jerry has. I don't know what he was trying to say there. We need to start. Okay, here we go. This is we need to stop going to the games. That's only been said 100 times. 972, Dak hasn't played a game since last November. Didn't play in the preseason. There is going to be rust, and I expect Philadelphia to win pretty handily. I agree with that sentiment. 956, the Cowboys will win 10 games. Dak Prescott is 76-46 as a starter. As long as he is healthy, this team will be in every game.
Okay.
Okay, we got some optimism.
So there's some optimism sneaking in here.
What happened?
Do you think that this is the least excited people have been for a Cowboys season in a while? Like, do you feel like this year is just people are expecting dread? That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
I don't know. That coming off of that Green Bay loss, a lot of people were not excited for the Cowboys. They drug out contracts. There was not a lot of high hopes going into this year. Really hasn't been high for the Cowboys in a while because you haven't had a draft pick that really inspired people. Because even Tyler Smith, obviously is an all-pro now, but everybody hated that pick.
Yeah.
A lot of people hated that pick. It was at Tulsa, had all these holding penalties. You've had Tyler Guyton since then, which a lot of people weren't like jumping out of their seat for. You've had Mozzie Smith. A lot of people weren't jumping out of their seat for. So there hasn't, a lot of times it's you get a draft pick people are excited for, or you had a late season crumble. It's like, oh, our team's right there. But the Cowboys haven't had much optimism. So yeah, this season probably isn't much different from the others. There just hasn't been much hype going into the season where Tolos are texting in, this is the Cowboys year, and they genuinely believe it. Like they there's a lot of teams in the NFC you can make a case for. The Rams, the Eagles, the Lions, even the Buccaneers, the Packers. Like, we've got a chance. I don't know how many Tolos are going to text in right now that say, hey, the Cowboys have a real chance at making noise in the playoffs.
Yeah.
940, the O-line worries me a lot. We're going to get to that here in just a second. We're going to be going through the depth chart for the Dallas Cowboys, and you tell me which position scares you the most. Micah dogged out Dak regularly. So I don't know about that. I always feel like Micah did not like the media hoopla. I mean, he's got a podcast. 469. Are you going to be one of those shows to tell people to text, but then ignore all the text replies?
No, we're not. Blake's coming in to make sure.
Reading as we speak.
Reading currently.
I'd sell them for a superstar if he gets us a Super Bowl. I mean, I think everyone would, but you know, you can't pick it. 214, how do I call in? We're not taking calls right now, but yeah.
Text in,
and we'll read it. Micah is a player, not a deceased family member. Let's stop talking about him and start talking about what we should do after him. Well, stay tuned. We'll be talking about the depth chart. Micah is nowhere dominant as Ray Lewis, Reggie White, or Lawrence Taylor was. He's a pass rush specialist. That's all he ever is. I've talked about that, and that's been a trending topic about him not knowing how to stop the run, but I think that's almost been overcorrected. It's not like Micah was the worst player in the world at stopping the run. I think people just, you got to find something to rag on. Okay, let's get to this Cowboys depth chart. Let's get the easy stuff out of the way. I want you, Brennan, to grade how well you feel about it. Being A+, being, you know, if the wide receiver core, whatever you think the best wide receiver core is, that's an A+. F being the worst, and you tell me where the Cowboys fall in this. So you got George Pickens, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Tolbert, and
Mingo's injured.
So right now you've only got four guys because you put Ryan Flournoy on your practice squad. So right now you got four guys with Mingo being injured that'll suit up, to my knowledge, unless someone gets called up, to my knowledge, on Thursday. Where does this receiver core grayed out for you?
Yeah, I mean, the depth seems to be lacking a little bit.
Out of nowhere. You had all these guys.
You had all these guys. Yeah, but obviously, CD and George are both A receivers. They're both, you know, top 10 receivers in the league.
Oh, wow. You think George Pickens top 10 in the league?
I think George Pickens, if he is focused on football and if he's playing and his head is, you know, where it should be on game day, I think that George Pickens has top 10 talent in the league.
Okay.
And so, I mean, CD is clearly, you know, I mean, you're...
He's number three.
Number three. Like, and so, I'm going to go... I'll go A minus.
I like it.
Because of CD and George. They elevate the room so much. Questions about the depth of the league. I mean, if one of these guys goes down or I mean, you're really looking thin here. I like Tolbert. You know, Turpin's kind of a, you know, like, is he as good as a Cole Beasley type guy was? No, but, you know, tries to fill that role. So I'm going to go A minus.
I'll give it a B plus. I think obviously the heavy lifting coming from your top two, CD and George, are both elite. And I think they're going to work really well against each other or with each other. Excuse me. CD working the whole field. George Pickens being your deep threat, a big body target in the red zone for Dak Prescott to look at. And then don't sleep on my boy Jake Ferguson. Bounce back year. I think he can make some noise, especially with us only carrying four receivers. I think Jake Ferguson will see a lot of targets in week one. Let's get to the position that everyone is clamoring about, the offensive line. So you got Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Booker, and Terrence Steele. I think we can all agree they're going to start on Thursday. Tyler Guyton. We still don't have a definitive... No, so we'll go Tyler Guyton / Nate Thomas. Some other guys there. TJ Bass is a backup. Brock Hoffman is a backup. They brought in Trevor Keegan from Philadelphia as a backup. Hakeem Adeniji is a backup. And AJ Cornelius, or Johnny Cornelius, excuse me. How do you feel about the offensive line group, especially the starters?
I'm going to say serviceable. Mm-hmm. I feel like they can get the job done. Is this one of the top units in the league? No. Because of that, I'm going to say B minus. I don't necessarily think that this group is going to dominate tough. And that's why the Eagles game is a little worrisome with their front four.
We're going to see it quickly.
And we're going to see. So we're going to find out fast Thursday night. I'll go B minus.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give them a B minus as well. I think you have the potential to have a top five interior offensive line with Smith already being a known quantity, Tyler Booker being a first-round pick from Bama. We've only heard good things about him. And then Cooper Beebe only progressing in year two. And he's getting his boys from K-State over here. We got Clayton Adams here. I like what they're cooking on that tough nose side of the ball, especially with the coaching. So I feel good about it, but I'm a very much known pessimist when it comes to the tackle position at both spots. Terrence Steele, I'm going to see it when it happens. I'm not going to project that he's going to be great. Tyler Guyton / Nate Thomas. I don't feel great about either of those guys. I know we want Guyton to come back, but it's not as if Guyton was this dominant defense left tackle, excuse me, last year. So I don't feel great about those. They bring the grade down a lot. But like I said at the beginning, those three interior offensive linemen, I think, have a chance to be top three, top five as a group.
And if Tyler Booker is very good, I think you can make a case that he adds a huge new dimension to the offensive line. So I could be convinced this could be a B-plus year, depending on Booker's growth through and how quickly he's ready to go.
Quickly, the quarterback room, Dak and Joe Milton, just how confident are you that if Dak were to get hurt, that if Joe's
not based off what I saw in the preseason, I don't think Joe has enough reps at all to lead a team to several wins. And obviously some of our Tolos that are texting in probably feel the same way based off how they feel with Dak being the quarterback. So Dak's health dependent. I still think Dak, when healthy, 2023, you know, had a very great year, top five MVP. I believe that Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback still when fully healthy. So because of that, a lot of teams would wish to have that. I'll say B plus.
Yep, I agree with you. B plus. Let's get to the running back position. You've only got three guys, and then we'll throw in Hunter Lipke as well. Javonte Williams being your lead back. On the depth chart, on some of them, it's got Jaden Blue. On some of them, it's got Miles Sanders. But either way, Jaden Blue, Miles Sanders is your backups. And then Hunter Lipke. How do you feel about this room overall? I'm going to give it a C minus.
Yeah, not great. Not great. Javonte Williams did not show enough at all to come in and be a lead back when he was in Denver. I mean, you know, injuries, Miles Sanders kind of banged up. Jaden Blue a little bit, too. I think he's still questionable going
ankle.
In. Yeah, so... not great. That's what I talked about in the previous segment is what does this room really look like and can they bring balance to the offense? If this turns into a 2024 Bengals where Dak is just chunking it up to George and CD and you're having to outscore people through the passing game and become one-dimensional, you're in trouble. So you need this group to be somewhat effective and to bring balance to the offense. And I'm really intrigued to see what Javonte Williams looks like.
Or reading your guys' text, so we weren't able to get to the defense, but text in, what do you think about the Cowboys offense? We just graded all the position groups. On the other side, we're going to go through the defense. What do they look like without Micah Parsons and with Kenny Clark slotted in? Who are the starters? And we got a surprise guy that could be ready for Thursday. Who is that guy, as well as some other NFL notes? We'll give you that at the top of the hour here on the KNC Masterpiece.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.